But the real thing we're going through is our mission. So
it is said that when something unpleasant happens, then we just tolerate it, knowing it also to come from Krishna, and if we just tolerate it, then in due course of time we become eligible for the mercy of Krishna. This is of course the one thing we need. Mercy is no doubt about it. And that's really, we are in business for mercy, somehow or another. We are mercy hunters. We are eager for getting somehow or another some mercy, realizing that that's what we require. Mercy can be attracted. Mercy can be attracted by service. Therefore, spiritual life begins with the service of the devotees. Service of the devotees is not just providing some soap or a pack of juice. Service of the devotees means not just feeding the Vaishnavas, but really service of the devotees, especially service of the pure devotees. And pure devotees are preoccupied with one thing. They are always engaged in transcendental welfare. We see that Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in Naini Saranya, and that the sages in Naini Saranya were asking questions to Sukadeva Goswami, who had heard the discussion between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit, a transcendental discussion. So Sukadeva Goswami was qualified to speak. He came to Parampara. And the sages knew that, so they asked him. They asked him. They asked him, what is the ultimate good for all people? So that is a very nice question. Yeah. I mean, it's not just a casual question. What is the nature of karma? Or what, can you tell me something more about Peter Park, or some other, I don't know, I haven't met Peter myself, but this question is, what is the ultimate good for all mankind? Just see the question. For all mankind, it's very all-inclusive. Not just what's the ultimate good for me and my family, the ultimate good for me and my community, the ultimate good for our neighborhood. We can put it, we can make a Rotary Club and we can do good for the neighborhood. But we want to the ultimate good for all mankind, not just something. I do not want to minimize the intentions of the Rotary Club, but it is inadequate to do partial good. It's just not enough to overcome the material energy. There are many people who are very sincere and who want to help others and do some good, and they feel good about it. But the problem is that even if we do some good, we don't overcome the material energy. The material energy, jatna, mritya, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease will always strike again. Just when everything was planned, just when we had saved the money and everything was going to be wonderful, then the story began. Ooh. So, like this, the material be brought under control, or be calm and assist with them. But of course, okay, one can be, let's say, there are many beautiful things, there are many wonderful things, and there are. We cannot say that there is no beauty in this world. There certainly is. But even all the beauty in the world, even all the good in the world, generally speaking, doesn't overcome the problems. It doesn't remove them. Okay? Because it's nice if someone gives a million rand, but then after a while you get used to it, and somehow or other money disappears. So if someone gives you a million rand first, you think, and then, but after half a year, you might be noticing that you got a million rand. It's sort of, you built an extra room, you got an extra car, it just disappeared. It was quick, very quick. And it hasn't really solved the material situation. So that is the problem with anything good, whatever it is. Without criticizing the good aspect of it, it's not good enough. It's just whatever it is, yeah. Say you have the most beautiful girl in the world, and you always say, lucky fellow. I would say, poor you. You have to work harder than anybody else to keep her satisfied, but not easy. She's used a man trip over their feet, right? For anything she wants, and if you don't, she'll trade you for another woman. So it's not simple. It's not simple. Like that, nothing is simple. So what can we do? We must. But the sages are asking another question. The sages are asking, what is the ultimate good? Right? The ultimate good. And not just for some, but for all. And then the answer that comes is, I declare the that this is devotional service to Krishna. It is that devotional service to Krishna that is not of this world. It is an amazing activity. Because one can take things from this world and engage in the service of Krishna and resolve the reasons in it. And that in itself is an amazing thing. So we don't have to move into the forest. We don't have to turn away from the world. We can be in the world, but engage things from the world in the service of Krishna. As simple as that. But that we must do with great eagerness. So, but we have to work in a mundane job. That's all right. If not one cent is spent for non-Krishna conscious activity. Not one cent spent for all that money earned for mine. All the money that is earned has to be used for Krishna. So if you have to spend it on a home, that's fine, have a home. If you have to spend it on a big home, spend it on a big home. But only Krishna consciousness is in that house, nothing else. That is all right. You can make it as big as you want. Bigger than this temple, no problem. If you can. Fine. But nothing but Krishna consciousness in that house. Then the money is not misspent. So in this way, sometimes in the Rathyatras and the Q&As, you get these kind of questions. But what do you do when you have to work and at your job? You cannot really spend time with Krishna consciousness, and then what do you do? But these kind of questions we get always. And the answer is, well, you just take the fruits of your labor and use them in devotional service. As simple as that. It's not impossible. You just throw that Maya in. Whenever Maya comes, through the back door, front door, or through any of the windows, out.
Questions about things you don't know.
Rather, we can ask questions about things that we do know, right? But things that we like to hear, for example. Some things we like, some stories we like, rather than some stories you tell them again and again. Yeah. I also have some stories I tell them again and again. I always tell the story of Nanda Maharaj taking baths on the Dwadasi in the Yamuna at the wrong time, and then he is sort of arrested by the servants of Varuna, and they take him before Varuna, and Nanda Maharaj is seeing Varuna. And you can imagine. Imagine any of us can see Varuna. It's the last thing we'd ever expect will happen, really. I mean, that you never see Varuna. So Nanda Maharaj was overwhelmed seeing Varuna. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj went into the water, and the next moment, Krishna jumps in the water looking for Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna appears also in front of Varuna. And then what happens is that Varuna, seated on his golden throne with jewels and all his decorated outfits and so on, Varuna comes down from his throne, offers full obeisances to Krishna, gets up and says, finally now, after so many lifetimes, this life has become successful, because in this life, I got the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nanda Maharaj is growing up. Varuna is saying that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all this time, Garga Muni told us that I would have a son like the Supreme Lord, but I never realized that he is the Supreme Lord. But if Varuna says so, then it must be true. Next moment, Krishna takes Nanda Maharaj back. Next moment, they come out of the water, everyone, the ground is heavy, and then Nanda Maharaj tells the whole story. And everyone says, no. All this time, we never knew, Krishna. Oh, you really pulled the fast one. You never told us who you really are. Oh, but now we know you are God. Well, Krishna, then you have to show us something. She says, okay. What do you want? He said, well, why don't you show us the Namajoti? Krishna says, Namajoti. So boring. You know what? I'll show you Kolam Vrindavan. Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, show us Kolam Vrindavan. And next moment, Krishna showed the residents of Gokul Kolam Vrindavan. And what did they see? They saw their own village. It was exactly the same as their own village. But there were these effulgent personalities offering prayers. The Vedas personifies. And they said, what a day. Just to show that actually there was me something different. And then they were all very satisfied to know that Golovindavan looks exactly the same like the village. And after some time, people just stopped talking about that Krishna was God. It wasn't news anymore. You know, everybody knew it. Then everybody said, you know, Krishna, yeah, we know. Come on, that, you know. And if you got anything, so after a while, no one spoke about it anymore, and after a while, everyone forgot like that. So this was the residents of Vrindavan, when for a short while they realized that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. It didn't make any difference. So I like that story very much, and I can't get enough of it. Somehow or another, I like that story. In this way, we can ask for something we already know, but just to hear it again. Or, even when we think we know, there may still be more to it than what we know. especially when a Vaishnava who has more realizations than we do ourselves answers the question, he might answer the questions way beyond what we thought we know. Even although we passed, you know, 3 Shastra exams with triple stars and, you know, and stripes and everything, and although we are famous locally as Pandit, still, even then, there may be, there are many dimensions. Because that is the nature of the absolute truth, that it is just compared to the sky, and it is said different birds flying on different levels in the sky of Krishna consciousness, and different birds on different levels of the sky can give us different insights into Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we can always ask a question of something we want to hear. And if there's nothing we want to hear, then we have to, if you think, I don't ask a question, then everything will be finished quick. That's also a good idea. But then, in this case, then it will force me to give you a bonus. Then I'll just... Because to be inquisitive never ends. These are written questions. That's okay. But written questions are boring. Because if you ask, if a 15-year-old asks the questions, I will answer the question one way. And when an 80-year-old asks the question,
then I might be explaining the question in other way according to the requirements.
Well, I shouldn't ask the question. I might just explain the question in other way. So, therefore, if anyone is brave and dares to raise his hand, that's even better, because then we get reciprocation. And actually, that's how we do it, normally. This is South Africa. It's on our own. Nowhere else in the world are we doing it with paper. And other, like everywhere else, the hand goes up. All the eyes go on the person. Oh my God, he's asking a question. Oh, let's see. Oh, what a foolish question. Oh. Anyway, does anyone have a question? Ah, yes. Who is the eldest? The eldest is first.
Guru Maharaj, I'd like to ask you a question that is worrying me in my preaching. Shastri for 2 years, and it stopped there, and I am preaching most times, you know what I mean? And you see, I feel I am only passing the half the message, whereas if my teacher carried on right through, I would be able to give them the full message which they need.
You are very right. Very right. I don't know who your teacher is, but we should definitely make sure that something is done about this. Because the Bhakti Shastri is only the foundation. Bhakti Shastri is actually giving us a study of the Bhagavad Gita. It gives us a study of the East Upanishads, the Upadesamrita, and of the first 19 chapters of the Nectar of Devotion. And with that, we get the full philosophical foundation of our philosophy. Once you study these scriptures, you can understand philosophically. You can basically understand everything from beginning to end, the entire process of bhakti. So in that way, the Bhakti Shastri is giving us a complete overview. But then, Srimad Bhagavatam fills in so much detail. So Srimad Bhagavatam, the study of Srimad Bhagavatam is an ocean of wealth that adds a lot of taste and flavor and a lot of depth on many points. And discussions in the Bhakti Vaibhav are very, very, very nice. Just as I was coming on the plane yesterday, I was reading the first chapter of the seventh canto. And the seventh canto in Bhagavatam, as you may know, is dedicated to the story, to the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev and Hiranyakasipu. There's a lot about him and Prahlad and so on. And, you know, at the time when Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha were conceived by Diti at an inappropriate time, and just before their birth, there were inauspicious omens. Jackals started howling, and it rained pus, blood, and bones from the sky. So, pretty bad. So when they appeared, certainly it was exciting. But that's chapter 2. Chapter 1 is something else. It's actually an introduction to the whole canto. And chapter 1 was, in chapter 1, Maharaj Pariksit was asking the question, he said, although it is said that the Lord is impartial, it seems that he is partial to the demigods and not towards the demons. And it seems like that, if you think about it, Mohini Murti and so many examples are there. But then it was explained, no, the Lord is not partial. The Lord is just reciprocating according to the mode of nature that a person has attained. The demons are in the mode of ignorance, the demigods in the mode of goodness, and the Lord responds accordingly, like that is explained. So, unless you study things like that in detail, you may not get it from just the Bhagavad Gita. Although Bhagavad Gita says, Vijja vinaya samtane brahmanigami astri suri chaiva swapakacha pandita samadarsinaha, that the learned person sees with equal vision a brahmana or a dog eater, an elephant, and so on, and the whole list is given. He sees them all as equal because he sees on the spiritual platform. Still, Bhagavatam drives the point home. So therefore, I agree with you that there should be a group of dedicated students who study the Bhakti Vaibhava. And if they want, we can supply them with all the curriculum material. No problem, I have it all on my computer and I will give it. So anytime that someone is interested in conducting such courses, let us know. Good point. Next is Mala Mangal. Loud and clear, Mala Mangal, otherwise I can't hear you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I was questioned by some devotee while I was transporting it to some family member's house. And actually her son had passed away very young.
Oh.
And she was very, very disturbed.
Yeah.
And she said, why my son?
Yes.
But Bhagavad Gita says, birth, old age, disease, and death. And she was pondering upon the point all the time. And Bhagavad Gita says, birth, old age, disease, and death.
Right.
Why did my son die so young?
Yeah.
Why did Krishna arrange something like that?
Yes.
So he can...
If I can give an answer, I get to blame. Well, there are many answers you can give to something like that. You can preach philosophy. The soul never takes birth, the soul never dies. Things like that. You can give answers like, actually, life after life, according to our karma, according to karma, Krishna makes a divine arrangement to place the living being in a body. And because of the karma, It happens. Sometimes I describe that an imaginary story to drive it home a little more. Imagine you die and after death you come in this big shopping mall. And there you are walking in the shopping mall and then in the windows there are many, many bodies. And you are looking, oh, which one shall I take? And you think, well, last life I was too fat and I always had problems breathing, right? Because of the overweight, so this life I want to be a little more skinny. Or you think, I was too short, I could never see anything, so I want a tall model. Or last night I had a knee problem, so I'm going to check that the knees are okay this time. So anyway, you go into the shop and you check out different models and you see one. And some may say, well, you know, I was a man, but actually I'm tired of that. I'll be a woman this time, or the other way around. And all that's possible. So once you make up your mind, you can try on the model. And you try it on. Feels good.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yes.
Nice.
Perfect fit.
Yes.
Want to look in the mirror?
Oh, yes, I'm looking in the mirror. Oh,
looks good. Looks great. And then you look at the price tag. They go, oh my God, I don't have enough karma for that.
That's the problem.
Then you don't have karma for that. So then the shopkeeper named Maya, either Mr. Maya or Miss Maya, says, no problem. We have the same model, but little cheaper. This one, it stays absolutely beautiful until 35, and then it grows twice in size. So just make sure you get married before 35. Or you get a model and everything is fine, but yeah, the nose is too expensive, so we have to give you a cheaper nose. And you get this nose that is too big. And then ever since childhood, all the kids will go, nose. Nosey. The whole life. So like this, we take birth. According to, not only according to desire, but according to karma. So if someone gets a body which has a very short duration of life, then that is due to bad karma. That is a philosophical answer. It may not satisfy the heart of a mother who has lost her child. I tell you that. So ultimately, you have to give an answer that can touch the heart. Prabhupada was in Japan and the Dai Nippon printing company and the director of the company was usually very sharp and they were negotiating about prices and this time he was very, very spaced out. And then Prabhupada finally asked what is wrong with Mr. Kawasaki or something like that. What is wrong with him? And it said, his son has died. He was only 90 years old. And then Prabhupada told him at the end, he said, I heard your son has died. He said, this is a very sad thing. He said, there is only one hope for you. He said, actually, once, the same thing happened to Krishna's teacher. His son died. And Krishna brought his son back. So if you want your son back, the only way you can get him back is by satisfying Krishna. Okay, that's what Prabhupada said. At least Prabhupada was relating to what that person wanted to hear. So yes, your only hope is Krishna. Even to that mother, turn to Krishna. If you want to see your son again, even if he doesn't come back here, but if you want to meet him again after this life, right, only Krishna can make it happen. Tell her that. Therefore, now you have have to be more serious about spiritual life than anybody else. You should become the best devotee of the temple. Then you will again see yourself. You tell her that. Okay, let's see what we've got here. We've got here, how can we master the art of not forgetting that we are with Krishna? With so many distractions and material issues. It is by always being engaged in devotional service. See, the material issues are there.
Still there, and one knows it.
knows it. Even those who are not serious about the initiation, they feel guilty. I sometimes say, you know the pearl story, Krishna and the pearls, Krishna planted pearls, and so many bushes and pearls came from that? I'm sure you have seen little Krishna, you've seen on TV. Yes. So, I say the vows of initiation are like that. They are like those pearls. You plant the vows nicely, and they will produce many beautiful pearls. So you really take the vows seriously. But if you don't look after these vows very nicely, then they become like a stick, and they will beat your heart. They'll beat your heart. That's what I'm talking about. So it's very powerful. And then I'm not even speaking about the karma that the spiritual master takes, you know, for your activities, this and that, time initiation, even after. So many meditations. And just then, there's a person who can just, when you are in Maya, suddenly look in your direction and say, what are you doing?
Thursday at
day feasts. Yesterday I flew the whole day, staring in the broken river, went to bed at night, and still haven't finished my rounds. I'm on the call. I don't want to be cured now. I'm on the call. 10-16 rounds, because the round of the feast is 1 hour early today. So I'm giving them off. Give me. So with that, please follow my apologies for escaping. Thank you very much. You are the key. Thank you.